Greetings, true believers. Welcome to the Adventure Zone, Ultra Space. Starring Jazzy Justin McElroy, Tremendous Travis McElroy, Groovy Griffin McElroy, Kick-Ass Kate Welch, and Galactic Gabe Hicks. And me? Oh, I think you know who I am. And it ain't the Watcher. Excelsior!
Welcome, Reed Richards, to your doom! Oh, no.
That doesn't really work very well.
$70 well spent.
Honestly,
if you're listening to the audio version of this, like all of you, everyone, that is just... That has just taken off an incredibly elaborate Dr. Doom
which
costume.
Frankly, took him, I would say, 5 to 10 minutes to put on, slowed down starting the recording. He wore it long enough to say
buttons.
One line and then took it off. So
had
far,
the gloves.
So good.
Why the gloves?
I don't know. It just looked more Dr. Doomy.
Okay, but audio only cats. Okay. I keep coming back to
only.
Oh, I didn't plan on wearing it all through. Come on.
Okay.
Okay, Dad.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to session one of the Adventure Zone Ultra Space, a.k.a. Babysitters 2 Galactic Boogaloo, using the Marvel Multiverse role-playing game. I am, believe it or not, your GM, Clint McElroy. And let me just say right off the bat, this is a non-canonical, please understand. This is a non-canonical follow-up.
I'm not willing to no, I don't agree.
Okay.
Everything I do, consent. Marvel has to acknowledge as canon.
Yes.
It is a follow-up to our critically defamed Marvel comic series, War of the Realms, Journey into Mystery.
Critically ignored Journey into Mystery.
Yeah.
Now, you don't have to read those books to enjoy Babysitters 2. I want to make that very, very clear.
You do need to buy a copy of it to enjoy this. You don't have to read it, but you need to purchase it or multiple copies.
It is out in graphic form, graphic novel form, ISBN 978-1-302-918-34-7.
And spring for that omnibus, people. It's going to be worth it. You want the whole omnibus.
That way you can enjoy the art of Andre Lima Araujo, the colors of Chris O'Halloran, the lettering of VC's Clayton Cowles, the editing of Will Moss and associate editing of Sarah Brunstad. And as long as I'm running through a list of names, we have to shamelessly name drop big thanks to Marvel Multiverse RPG writer, designer, Matt Forbeck. He has been a godsend and has really helped us out quite a bit. So
huge,
you've met me.
Big ups to, by the way, our crediting the graphic novel that we wrote, which is just the McElroys.
Yeah.
Just one sort of shapeless, four-headed orb that descended from the heavens to create this book.
Do I need
weave
to give
magic.
That ISBN number again?
No.
Weave the magic, Weaver.
All right, let's go around the table, meet our players. Griffin, you're the baby. Why don't you start?
Hi.
Just to introduce yourself, and then we'll introduce characters.
Okay, I'm Griffin. I'm the youngest brother, and if this is the first Adventure Zone, it might be. You know, actually, people love this comic book shit.
Yeah, man.
That hate fantasy shit. So yeah. I'm Griffin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy, the middlest and coolest brother.
Justin McElroy here. I'm the oldest one.
And I want to introduce, we have two guests joining us for this arc of the Marvel RPG, and we're very excited to have you. Let's start with Kate.
Hi, I'm Kate Welch. I'm not a brother, but I have had a dream that I met the fourth brother, which I think everybody does. I think that's just like a rite of passage,
oh,
right?
No, that's actually that's very prophetic.
That means you're going to die within the year.
Is that bonus, sorry. McElroy?
Yeah. Yeah, bonus, but sweet baby bonus. I'm a narrative director in video games. I'm a player of Dungeons and Dragons and RPGs, and I have gotten to play with Clint and Travis before, but the rest of these are new players for me. I'm very excited.
And our second guest is Gabe Hicks. Gabe, introduce yourself.
Yeah, so I'm Gabe Hicks. Ironically, I am the youngest of four and the only brother in my family.
There you go. Welcome.
Yeah.
The prophecy.
It has been fulfilled.
It is coming true.
First there was Griffin, now there was Gabriel. I'm a game designer, voice actor, cosplayer, and I spend a lot of time in the woods because, I don't know, people don't bother me there. It's great.
You know what? People don't introduce themselves enough with stuff like that. Like, I do this, I do this. And sometimes I just sit alone in the dark because it's quiet for a second and I just need them.
I'm a solitary drifter.
Gabe, how do you get started with the woods? Because I've been out there a few times, and I'm standing there, and I'm like, trees, dirt, love it, rocks, cool. But then what?
Here's the thing.
Do I pitch a tent? Do I set up camp?
Just wander a little bit. Like, no joke, there's this one area in the woods. It's kind of concerning. Every time I go back there, for the last 3 years, I found a dead deer skeleton. It's like a different one.
Whoa.
Which, like, in retrospect, maybe that is more concerning when I say it out loud.
Hey, but, Gabe, are you possibly a werewolf? And when you say wandering in the woods, you're waking up next to a deer carcass once a month.
I was weirdly obsessed with werewolves to the point where now I genuinely get a surge of adrenaline because of a placebo effect whenever there's a full moon. And I found out yesterday that I was born on a full moon, and my mom's like, huh, that's true, and then never said anything else about it.
Okay, you're not refuting any question I just asked you.
No, you're adding more evidence.
I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm Gabe Hicks. Hi.
Okay, just to talk very briefly about the Marvel Multiverse role-playing game, a lot of similarities to a lot of RPGs you may have played before, Dungeons & Dragons and other ones. The big mechanical difference is you always roll three die on action checks, and you roll the three die, and one of the three die is a Marvel die. It's based on the fact that the Marvel Universe is Universe 616. So the one has been replaced with an M, and if you roll one, if you roll an M in the middle of your roll, then very special things happen. We will
good things.
We will get to that. We will come up to that.
That's so clever.
But let us get started, shall we?
Please.
Okay.
Sebastian Druid.
Hmm.
After the War of the Realms, Baldur gave you a job in Little Asgard, which is in Broxton, Oklahoma, the new home of the Asgardians. He hired you to be, quote-unquote, an attendant to Lausa, Odin's daughter, Thor and Baldur's sister, child of Odin, and it's kind of murky, but maybe Gaia and maybe a fire demon. It's all, you know, it's like very family drama.
You guys have seen Modern Family, right? It's like that, yeah. You know? It's just that.
Just like Modern Family. So you have been doing this. You have been her basically nanny because that's what you are trained to do. Tell me how that's been going for you.
Sorry, where was it again? Where was it? I know you
Broxton,
said it was
Broxton, mm-hmm. Oklahoma, also mm-hmm. known as Little Asgard.
It's been an adjustment. Things are a lot slower. There's not a lot of action out here in Oklahoma. Not a lot of danger so far. It's been a pretty chill post, I think. Sebastian is a powerful wizard, but not really good at anything beyond that, by and large. But I think he feels like this is a good position for him. You know, it's not too demanding. He's able to just mainly kick it, trying to get a novel going. And yeah, it's been pretty chill, honestly.
Also in Broxton, Oklahoma, up till
just
now.
Just said all that. I just said all that shit. Is it true?
It can
hey,
be.
Bring it to reality with your dreams. So
okay, cool, man.
That's our first t-shirt.
Shit, that's good.
Thori the God Dog. or the dog god. Thori also resides in Broxton, much to his chagrin. He'd rather be out there in the middle of battle doing combat with frost giants and everything else, but he is the unofficial watch god of Broxton. Thori, what's your canine mental state these days?
Thori is having a sort of crisis of a crisis of violence. He is a, as everyone knows, because Thori, and I would say pretty much all the characters, well, most of the characters we're playing today are maybe not Marvel Cinematic Universe best hits.
It does occur to me that our two guests got to pick the two characters that have been in actual Marvel shows now.
Stay jealous.
But as a sort of hell beast, which Thori is, who's powered by violence and Fancy Feast, weirdly, he likes Fancy Feast.
He's a fancy
being
boy.
Being here in Broxton with nothing to do has been a nightmare from which he can't escape.
I understand completely.
Is that how you feel about your life, Dad? That's exactly how I feel. Yeah.
Conflict of violence every single day.
I understand.
On this particular evening, Sebastian, you put Lausa down for her bedtime. Now, she's not an infant anymore. This takes place about 2 years after the events of War of the Realms Journey into Mystery. She's a big girl of three now. And she's a very advanced three. She has a lot of mysterious power. She's a pretty good reader, and she talks a little more than she used to. How does one get a goddess/demoness to bed when she doesn't want to go, Sebastian?
I have been doing some light conjuring. She makes me cover her walls in baby shark. It's an extremely draining illusion that I can't keep up for very long, and she gets really, really pissed. So I have
me too,
to,
man.
Yeah, lie down on the ground, charge up all my energy, and just try to project that baby shark until it's enough to get her to fall asleep. But she hates the orange one, and I forget that sometimes, and sometimes I'll accidentally make the orange one.
Yeah.
And that starts the whole cycle over again. So it's a lot. It's a big friggin' production every night.
But eventually it works, and eventually she closes her little eyes, and you sneak out. Now, you had promised
Dad, I teleport out. I'm not risking. I know my stealth
a floorboard
stat.
A
loud doorknob click. Ugh.
You had promised Thori, the doggone god dog, and a fellow member of the Superhero Babysitters Club that you would get together for a little bit of fun. So, Thori, what did you convince Druid to do?
We're going to fucking PetSmart, dude.
I can't, Thori, I can't go to PetSmart. I have to, the baby is here. What? Who is watching the baby? You're at PetSmart. You're not. Are you driving?
Yes, I'll be driving a vehicle. Very funny, Sebastian Druid.
Right. Okay, so we can't. Again, I feel like I've explained this
to you. I can work the pedals, Sebastian Druid. I think I know the difference.
I think you could drive the car, Thori. As we've said, if we're both in the car, who is watching Lausa?
I've been having the dreams again, Sebastian. It is imperative I go to the PetSmart.
PetSmart? Okay, Thori, I'm really tired. It's getting old. You using prophecy
conjure a familiar.
It's not a prophecy. You just want to go to PetSmart, Thori. I've explained this.
The dreams it's not a prophecy. Are so real, Sebastian Drew.
Right. I understand. I could try to. Do you want me to try to Instacart something? Is there something you need specifically?
I just. Did you hear me say the thing about the dreams? I need to be challenged.
Dad, is there anybody else here that could watch Lausa so we can go to PetSmart? Am I correct in my assumption? Okay.
In all of Little Asgard, there's not one other person here.
There's not one other responsible human.
I feel like if fucking, I don't know, Loki, if he's around, if he pops in and gets the kid and they're like, so? Sebastian, Thori, where were you? We're like, PetSmart.
I will say this. somebody does have an Etsy shop in Little Broxton, primarily dealing with pet things.
What? So if you, not yeah, with, I don't little. Want some internet rando working on my raw hides.
I'm just trying to give you some options.
How about this? Because this is an RPG, and we can just say stuff, and it's true. It's fine. I got Deadpool to babysit.
The most before responsible hero.
Before Deadpool can get there, Sebastian.
But he's on his way.
Oh, yeah.
Is what you're saying.
He promised he'd be here.
Hey, Dad, oh, you're going to. Hey, listen, Dad, just put that. Take that little check, put it in your pocket, and here in a little bit.
Yeah.
The Merc with the mouth. My dad is Deadpool. Dreams are coming true. That's
now
my
I
got to
make a character sheet for Deadpool. Okay, Sebastian, from inside your cloak, your magic red cloak, you hear a beep, a sound. You pull out a device that looks a lot like a baby monitor.
The hell?
Because it is a baby monitor.
Hmm.
And on the baby monitor, you hear the sound of a book being opened and pages being turned. Now,
Is there a camera?
No. Not on the baby
monitor. It's 2023.
He didn't want to splurge.
Yeah, that's fair.
I don't know if there's Wi-Fi in Little Broxton.
Yeah. They have magic.
You figure out that. Okay, I'll tell you what. Make a vigilance check.
Ooh.
First roll of the game.
Just rolling then. We're just going to roll.
Or wait, you know what? Make a logic check. Make a logic check.
Okay.
So Justin's going to roll 3d6s, one of which is a special Marvel dice.
The stats in this game spell Marvel. It's easy to remember. Melee, agility, resilience, vigilance, ego, logic.
Kate, I'm with you. I'm with you. As soon as you said no like the idea. 616 dice, that's why it's 3d6s. Same. I was like silently like, oh my God.
I'm an idiot. Oh, that's what it is.
That's what I do okay. is I just like nod when that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now I made a logic attack. I guess
that's
I fine. Don't want to do that, right? I want to
no,
do
that.
Oh, that's
your baby monitor explodes.
11. I got an 11.
Logic.
You got an 11. Okay, I'll give that to you. You recognize that sound as being the sound, and you figure out that Lausa had been feigning sleep to get you out of the room. And she has climbed up on a stack of books in a chair, and she's sitting at a desk reading. She's doing a little late night reading. Like I said, she's very advanced.
Atta girl.
Yeah, let her go.
And just as you're getting ready to pocket the device, you hear a voice. And it's a voice you don't recognize. And it says, I am here to take you to your mother. And you hear the sound of the book closing.
What do you do? I'm Thori, heal. And I start rushing upstairs.
That, why would you say no? I follow.
I'm just pissing. I'm just kidding with you. Come on.
Heal means follow, Griffin.
Heal means follow?
Yeah, it means like be at my heel.
Oh, okay. And Thori definitely doesn't fucking know that.
Yeah.
I don't understand. Foot!
I have no healing powers.
Okay, so you enter the room. First thing you notice is that Lausa is not there. Neither is anybody else. One of you make a vigilance check.
I got this.
Thori, you're
a
dog.
My keen dog senses are honed to a... That's 2-2-2. I got a 9. Plus my 3 resilience.
Yeah, please make that clear. Because just without the plus 3, it's like 2-2-2-9.
9. Let's go, baby.
Okay, with that, you notice that...
Wait, that was resilience, though, Griffin, not vigilance.
Oh, you're so right. Thank you so much, Justin. I did click the wrong thing. That's 1-5-5 plus 4. Better. That's a 15.
Get these all out of our system now.
Yeah.
With that, you notice that her precious direwolf stuffy that she never goes anywhere without is also missing.
I'm going to sense the supernatural.
Hmm.
Okay.
I can reach out with my mind to sense the presence of supernatural people, places, or things within 100 spaces. A space is like 5 feet, right? You know. So within like 500 feet. It tells him the location of the supernatural thing and its general status.
Okay. With that, you detect that there is something in a bookcase on the other side of the room that is kind of hidden from view, and it is a nanny cam. It is sort of like a nanny cam, but it's powered by Norn magic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, we got that clip.
Thanks.
Will you be walking us through every gag?
Every gag will be explained.
I think
you're hilarious.
Have you just met me?
Gabe, if he was hilarious, he wouldn't need to explain him.
I mean, look. My mom is from the South. She explains everything, and I laugh anyways.
You detect this Norny cam. You did not put it there. You don't know that where sucks. It's from. And as you're looking at it, Skuld, the Norn, the silent Norn, who, as we know from Journey into Mystery, isn't really all that silent. She is a seer who makes prophecies. So here again, more prophecies. And she had put the Norny cam in there. She had hidden it.
Mm.
And she tells you, it's not...
Is she there? Sorry, how is she talking?
Yes, she just walked in. She just walked in.
Does she live here?
It's not that I don't trust you.
Okay.
Yes, I'm here in Broxton, too. But, you know, this is one of the ways I have cultivated my reputation of omniscience. I got these suckers all over Broxton.
Okay, later. Skuld, where is Lausa?
Well, I do not know, but we can rewind the nanny cam. They record.
The Norny cam.
So she rewinds the Norny cam.
What's she showing it to me on?
There's a little screen that flips out. It's
cool.
So cute.
All right, great.
Yeah. A magic Norny screen. And you see Lausa, and she's perching on a pile of books, like you theorized, and she's reading this gigantic ancient tome.
How cute.
It's a Scandinavian translation of One Fish, Two Fish, Red Fish, Blue Fish.
Ah, yes.
Which no.
Glocken, Lucian Loven.
Sorry, Sweden.
Suddenly, they're the ones that eat those salty licorice fish. I don't want to hear it.
I love it.
Suddenly, you see Laos's head kind of snap around, and she's looking at the darkened doorway, and it's in the background of this screen. And you hear that same voice from the shadows.
I am here to take you to your mother.
Lausa smiles at that and clambers down from her pile of books, walks towards the speaker, who for the first time steps into the light, extending a clawed hand, and you can see just a very brief flash of the speaker's face. Alien and drawn, and it is Corvus Glaive, the leader of the Black Order.
That guy.
I do recognize Corvus Glaive. Are you telling me, or does Sebastian recognize Corvus Glaive?
I say he does. He does.
Okay.
Yeah. And in a very Grinch, Cindy Lou Who reminiscent moment, Lausa climbs up into his arms, and they disappear into the dark.
Okay, now listen. This is terrible, obviously. We don't want to point fingers, but I just want to say, kind of seems like Sebastian, Druid, and Thori haven't really done a lot of stranger danger training here.
She's
just like, sick, bro. Do you have ice cream? Any puppies in your van? Like, come on, guys. You
it should have been lesson this. Number like yes. lesson number one, right?
Day one.
If a guy sounds like this, I'm here to take you. Like, just don't.
You
like,
don't go
like,
with that just guy.
Just don't.
You're right. But also, they're babysitters, not the parents. And this dude was like, I'm in your house. We're going.
Yeah. That's true.
That's hard to combat. Also, we're the only two ones here. So I don't want to hear any Monday morning quarterbacking on our babysitting.
Yeah, you know what? Wonder, like it's a wonder that these two have gotten this far.
That's fair.
This baby, this 3-year-old juked to them and said, I'm going to pretend I'm asleep, and then I'm going to go read my book.
Sebastian Druid, this is terrible. We have failed and brought great shame.
It's at our house. It's extremely bad, Thori. That's an understatement. I need to, what am I supposed to, calls. I need to, yes,
we
I need
can
to call.
Make calls in the car, because this does free us up. It's a tragic
Don't say
occurrence.
It. God, Don't say it.
Again.
Thori? No.
It is a heartbreaking occurrence that has it. We shall right this terrible crime. We will find Corvus Glaive, and I will bury my jaws in his throat. But this does free us up.
I'm not even responding at this point. Wait. Okay, so Dad, my compulsion here, and I need you to help me navigate this.
Okay.
I feel like the order of operations for Sebastian would be the child is missing. There has to be a alarm, a first call, a, like, what is our plan? Like, what's, you know what I mean? Like, there's a structure here. Like, that is, I don't know what it should be his first step, but there has to be a plan.
Let me guide you a little bit. I think for one thing that Sebastian, while his number one concern is for Lausa, I think he's also very concerned with getting fired from his job.
Okay. Okay.
And
I go on with that.
Probably doesn't want to notify Balder. A matter of fact, Skuld turns to you and says,
"If I were you, I wouldn't notify Balder." I think the best thing for you to do would be to save Lausa yourself.
Well, I mean, obviously,
anybody finds out how bad you screwed up.
Yeah. Okay. Thank. By the way, thank you, Skuld. As always, thank you. Super helpful. Okay.
Wait, smartass. Maybe I can be of more help.
And her head snaps back.
And she dies. She falls to the ground dead.
And a pez comes out of her throat. It's incredible.
And a prophecy comes out of her throat.
Oh, I was close. What?
Close. Well, out of her mouth.
Yeah, she says out of her throat. You know how the throat and the mouth are all just one long tube?
Okay, yeah. Just let Dad talk. Weaver.
Here comes her prophecy.
Okay.
I see the glaive near a distant star. In a nowhere spot with human lord, where memories drown in a darkened bar, with a jukebox, darts, and shuffleboard. So out to space, and when you go, it's there a canny wastrel meet, a swan and a cop of indigo. You'll save the child if you are fleet. Countless dangers on this quest. You will need help, I'm no bullshitter. So many foes that you must best. So gather up thy babysitters.
That'll be $5. Hold on. Give me 1 second. She's just waiting for the title card to... Okay, there it goes. All right. Title card has passed.
It was absolutely silent. It made no noise whatsoever.
By the way, that prophecy is now available to you.
And Dad, I like how you wrote it as black on dark gray.
This is unreadable.
Is that what I did?
Yep. Yes. Oh, yeah.
I sure hope somebody who's listening will fix that.
Yeah.
So we'll everybody out. Can read that.
Hey, a couple of quick announcements, too, before we get back to the episode. We've got a bunch of cool stuff over at macromerch.com. If you haven't checked it out, you need to go do that. 10% of all merch proceeds this month will be donated to Border Angels. Macromerch.com, check that out. Also, Griffin's book, The Stowaway, is out now. It's a choose-your-own-adventure. Go to bit.ly/GriffinStowaway and get all the information there or find it at a local bookstore.
Thank you, Travis.
You're welcome, Griffin. And Justin's great, too. He does cool things.
Whatever.
All right. Back to the show.
I'm glad you said that because nobody says that.
Can I just say thank you to you for such a thoughtful interview?
Oh my God. Yeah, I think you nailed it.
Bullseye. Interviews with creators you love and creators you need to know. Listen to the Bullseye podcast only from NPR and Maximum Fun.
Okay, let's jump ahead to young Miles Morales. Where are you at this very moment? And, well, let's say, and not this very moment, but let's say probably about an hour from now. What are you up to? What are you doing?
There was an alarm that went off at one of the art museums in the Bronx. And Miles is a big fan of art. His mom loves art. So he's absolutely going there to see what they're doing. And at this point, he's probably just actually webbed someone to the ceiling and just looks up and says, you know, the sign says, look, don't touch. Right? Like, it's a very easy to understand sign.
And well, right.
You can't sell these on Etsy.
I'm a collector.
But like, do you have money?
Well, no. I mean, I wouldn't be stealing stuff if I had money.
That's actually a misconception. There's a lot of rich guys who just steal things.
Well, Barbara, can you help me out a little bit here? Barbara, his accomplice, comes over and what have you webbed Barbara up?
You don't mean a lot of crime, Barbara's, do you?
Nearly enough.
I don't think I've webbed Barbara up. I think Barbara might have like stopped and froze, and then you know that like Miles, like the Spider-Man pointing at each other thing. Like he's absolutely just does that when he sees Barbara in the corner and just waits to see what she does. But also, worst part, now I know your names.
Oh God, did I tell you that my name was Desmond?
Nope, you did now.
Damn.
And then I like webbed his mouth.
You are clear.
Hey, Barbara. This is a great moment for you to turn over a new life, right?
Well, that's an excellent point. But you know what? I don't think so. And you engage in combat.
Yeah, done.
Okay. What do you do, Miles?
Venom blast her face.
Oh, shit.
Venom blast her face. All right. give me an attack roll on this. Normal human being.
That's a 17?
17 lands.
15 points of damage.
That hurts poor Barbara.
She's dead now.
And she has a very disappointed look on her face.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, kind of like a rictus kind of thing. Just walked in there.
Venom blasted your face. So I believe she is going to attack you.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see here. Okay. My rolls are not showing up on the screen, which is very convenient for me.
I think that's how it's supposed to be, Pop.
Right. Okay. It was a 9 anyway.
Yeah.
Does nine last? What she did was she picked up a vase and threw it at you. This is a priceless artifact. Worth like hundreds of dollars.
That does not hit. Miles of Death, like, lean back, web grab the vase, grab it. If you don't work, don't break things.
Right.
You panicked.
Yes, I panicked. It's very scary. Have you looked at yourself? You're like a black and red spider. Oh, and you blasted me in the face with a venom blast.
I would say the 100,000 volts to the face would make me panic for sure. I'd be peeing pants. No worries.
You know, hey, Barbara. You know it's wild. The south door is open. You should leave. Also, don't commit crime again. But also, wear a mask, maybe.
Oh, I can't really leave without Desmond.
Would you
let him go? And we've learned, haven't we, Desmond? And Desmond goes,
The only reason I'm going to let you get away is because you wore your Costco name badges, so it's really easy to find you again.
They just came here straight after a shift at Costco.
Yep.
Didn't stop on the way home.
Yep. Look, they heard that like they were changing the prices of the hot dogs, and they're just revolting.
Yeah, sure. They are. I agree, Gabe. The hot dogs are revolting.
Don't say things you can't take back, Griffin.
Yeah, that's true.
Did you?
They might want to sponsor us someday. Not yet. Not someday. At this rate, certainly.
I'm going to put the vase down.
So, Barbara, do you free Desmond?
Desmond, I'm going to let you down. Mm-hmm. Are you going to behave yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take the probably. I'm great at understanding gibberish. My mentor's terrible about it.
Okay, I appreciate it. When will this come off?
Oh, that'll come off in about an hour.
Oh, sucks.
Hey.
Okay.
Language.
I'm just starving.
And Barbara says, thank you. Thank you, Spider-Man. We will never make this same mistake again.
Yeah.
Being caught. I'm
yeah. Here. Oh.
Oh, and by the way, we've got all the Christmas stuff up at Costco. So.
Is it on sale yet?
For you? Yes. Tell them Barbara and Desmond's. Oh, you already knew that. Okay. So they leave. And at that very moment, Miles, you hear a sound. A semi-familiar sound, but not all that familiar. And you look out the window to see a somewhat familiar sight, but not really completely familiar. Smash cut. Kate Bishop, what are you up to?
Reporting for duty. I have not strayed too far from Oklahoma because... I think it's a slight exaggeration to say that I'm the only adult in the room, but like, so I've gone about my business, but I haven't been able. So I am in outside Amarillo, Texas, which is not the most exciting place in the world, but Hawkeye Investigations has to continue. You know, mm-hmm. I've got a business to run.
Right.
I have been hired by some like cattle baron.
It's very dry and dusty out there in Texas.
Yeah. There's so much dust. It's so much dust. This cattle baron is convinced that his husband is cheating on him with an Avenger. So he hired me to spy on his husband. Now, what I will say is if this man is cheating on his husband with an Avenger, it's like a D-list Avenger. Like, I don't know this one. I gotta admit, yeah, like there's some unusual clothing going on, for sure. But I can't if there's a power that I can't detect it, and certainly like nobody's paparazzi in this one. So okay. It's dull, it's dry, it's dull. I am yearning for a little excitement.
Do you have any kind of any clues? Do you have any leads on who this mysterious Avenger might be?
No, I what I have seen is that this guy is tall, he is lanky, and he dresses in like this flashy, like yellow and black sort of stripey bee costume. I don't know if costume, maybe costume's not the right word, but it's it's a look. I'll give him that. Like it's a strong look. But yeah, this is all. I've been tailing him. I ride a motorcycle now. I'm just trying it out. I don't know. It feels a little Black Widow, but I'm just trying it out. I'm just trying it out. I need a little bit of something out here, you know, like any kind of excitement. It's just roads. So yeah, I am bored out of my skull.
As you're tooling along on the highway headed for Amarillo, Texas, you roll into town. Now, are you going into Amarillo specifically?
Yeah.
Or are you just kind of, okay.
Yeah. I think they're going on a date. Like I got intel. I know that these two are meeting up somewhere. And by going on a date is probably just like a shitty motel on the side of the road. But you know, okay. You do what you can. There's a little romance. There's a little romance out there, Jane. In those motels. Listen, it's been a dry spell, and I am going to date him if I feel like it, Miles. Don't come at me from New York. You know what I would give to be in New York right now?
But you're in Amarillo, Texas, and you are riding along on your motorcycle, and right at the edge of town, you see this really seedy, broken-down motel. The sign says Roach Motel, R-O-A-C-H-E. And it really lives down to its name. you pull into the parking lot. What do you do?
So, let's see. I think probably by now I've got to make a model of this B-man's vehicle. So I would probably be on the lookout to see if it's parked here yet.
Okay. Give me a vigilance check.
You got it, buddy. Yep, a 10.
Okay, I'll give it to you. You see the vehicle, but you have to describe it.
God damn it, Clint. Let's say it's a Pontiac Firebird.
Ooh.
Like a 1988.
Yeah.
Okay, and since it was a 6 and you got such a high score, I will say that the engine is running on the Pontiac Firebird. Okay. And there's somebody in the front seat.
All right.
Of that car. What do you do?
I park a safe distance away, and then I get out. Like I get out my phone. Like I'm going to talk to somebody to see if they're here yet. And I give a little, a professional investigator used to doing this kind of work, glance over into the front seat of that Pontiac Firebird, with which I am now parallel.
Mm-hmm. And with that high vigilance roll, I will say that the person behind the wheel rolls down the window, and a puff of a big cloud of smoke comes out. Really dank stuff.
Oh, I see.
And the person behind the wheel looks up at you, and you recognize this person as indeed the Avenger, quote unquote Avenger, that you have been looking for.
Excellent.
And it's Buzz. His name is Buzz, because all the good names like Yellow Jacket and Stinger.
Is this
and
the
even
cheating
D-Man.
Avenger?
This is a cheating
that's
Avenger.
His subtitle. Buzz, the cheating Buzz, Avenger. Buzz.
The infidelity
the cheating Avenger.
My money was 100% on Star Fox. He's a superhero that has the ability. You know what Star Fox's one power is? Horniness. Like, he just makes people horny. Like, it's I just feel like
Are
he's probably
serious?
Star Fox.
But the one person Star he can't Fox make is horny is himself.
Like, She-Hulk wouldn't even defend him. He went to trial for misusing this, and she was like, fuck this guy. He is the fucking pits. My money was absolutely...
Did any of you see the Eternals? Because he shows up at the end of the Eternals, and it's Harry Styles.
Really?
Are you serious?
I'm serious. In the post-credit scene... Harry Styles comes out along with Pip the Troll, played by, I think, Patton Oswalt. And that's at the end of the Eternals movie.
Okay. Right.
Shout out to Clint.
Now you're all rushing to YouTube, aren't you?
Yeah, Clint taking out everyone for filth. Just like, actually, since none of you waited to the end.
Okay.
So Buzz looks up and through kind of bleary, squinty eyes.
He is Thanos' goddamn brother. So Thanos is like, I'm going to snap and destroy half the thing. And Star Fox is like, I'm going to make everybody fuck.
Well, you got to procreate. And Buzz looks at you, Kate, and says,
What? I do like the shades. Oh. Hey, yeah, what do you want? Are you a cop?
No. No, I'm here to meet somebody. Are you here to meet somebody?
Yeah. A friend. This is the only place in town that rents by the hour. So yeah, me and my friend are having a little get together.
You know your friend's married, right?
Well, he's gonna marry me. Says. Wait a minute, you mean he's married now?
Yeah. No, he is. He's got him husband back home and a couple of really cute kids. A pet goat.
Goat. Oh, the ones that jump up in your back when you're doing yoga.
The little miniature one. Yeah. It sleeps in the bed with them. Yeah.
Just like me. Just
like you.
Give me an ego check. Okay. I want to see if you convince him.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. It's a 10.
Listen, I want to believe you, but you haven't even given me a name yet. If you're so sure it's the same person, what's his name?
Okay, so... Let's see. I'm trying to think of... I have... Kate Bishop has an interrogation trait that allows her to get an edge on ego or logic checks when asking questions.
Oh, okay.
Questions,
all right.
Just when asking questions, not like persuasion stuff. So...
I think this absolutely counts, right?
Absolutely. Like, absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. Do it. Okay. Right. Roll it out.
So okay, edge is like, it's basically, it's similar to advantage in D&D, but edge lets you re-roll your one lowest die rather than re-rolling the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, God. Rolling like shit. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Unbelievable. So Kate rolled a 4-3-2, re-rolled the 2, and got a 2.
Yeah, sure did. Yeah. That's how this game's going to go. So then the question then, I would flip it, be like, I think we both know that I know who this is. I obviously wouldn't be here if I didn't. So let's just cut to the chase, right? Why don't you make my life a lot less boring and just get on out of here so that I can close this case with my client. They can start relationship counseling, whatever it is they need to do. And I don't have to be out here in dusty ass Amarillo any longer than I have to. How's that sound to you? Is that a deal?
Well, yeah. It might be a lot less boring if I were to hit you with my amazing superpower.
Oh, we don't have to get into that. Come on, man.
No. I've got a pretty amazing superpower. Are you afraid of me hitting you with my yummy blast, which will give you the munchies?
Are you sure this isn't Star Fox? Because this feels... very Star Fox.
My yummy blast.
Kate, I'm giving full murder access. Permission granted. Whatever you need from me. Kill my dad. Do it. Arrow to the throat. Lethal force is enabled.
Wait.
Flip
you
off
have
the
arrows?
Heroic tag. We're going for the kill this time.
You
I
have
really
arrows?
I really yeah, yes, I'm Hawkeye, bro. Like I am
shit.
Duh.
I love you.
Fucking
oh.
Duh. Look at me. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, I thought you were a dude.
He's a stoner.
Isn't Hawkeye a dude?
Yeah, Hawkeye's a dude. Yeah, but also I'm also Hawkeye and not a dude. Arguably, you know, kind of a better Hawkeye. But we don't have to get into
no,
it right
that's,
now.
No, you know what? Since you are carrying rather lethal looking weaponry, and I'm really not an Avenger.
Yeah,
I told him I was an Avenger.
You don't fucking say. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. This is a very toxic relationship I'm in.
Yeah.
So.
You don't need it. You can do better.
I'm going to get out of here because I think you've got reinforcements coming. And he points up to the sky and you see a somewhat familiar looking sight, but not completely familiar. Uh-huh.
So then Wonder Man sight. Is.
Smash cut.
And Wonder Man's also here.
Yeah. Hey, everybody.
Simon Williams.
Wasn't busy.
Simon Williams, mm-hmm. Where are you?
I am at Mile High Con in Denver doing signings and photos, a couple panels, because along with being an Avenger and one of the founding members of the West Coast Avengers, he's also an actor and a stuntman who's been in a ton of things. So he was doing... a convention to try to make some more money. Try to make money.
Okay.
He likes money.
How's the convention going?
It was going really well. His booth was between the cast of Our Flag Means Death and David Tennant, so he was getting a lot of foot traffic. It was great. Then, slight hiccup on Saturday when one of the actual like animatronic T-Rexes from Jurassic Park that was there on display went haywire. Started wrecking the place. So Wonder Man had to kind of corral that thing with some of the stanchions and curtains and stuff because it doesn't really fall under his new pacifism thing because it's just an animatronic dinosaur. But thing's a fucking star, right? It was in Jurassic Park. It was the one that stepped on the thing. So he
it
managed
to the museum.
He managed to bring it down without damaging it. Now he's just signing autographs, but still charging, mind you. And doing photos with the dinosaur in the background.
He hears screams. He hears the screams of the public.
Oh.
Loud crashing sounds as people dressed as tieflings flee in every direction. What are you going to do, Simon?
I go towards where the screaming is beginning.
Okay.
At super speed.
Roll for initiative.
Me?
Yeah.
Okay. It's just I'm by myself. Okay. You didn't make anybody. All right. Okay.
You're either going to be first or second, man.
I got 15 total.
Good lord.
Okay, you're first. You're first.
Hell yeah.
Tell me what you're going to do.
Well, I'm going to super speed my way there. I'm going to speed run my way. That makes my speed. Yeah, so I'm able to run 15. I'm running at the speed of a car. A Pontiac Firebird.
Popular choice. Mm-hmm. Popular choice.
Hey, sorry, that was a deep cut reference to our session zero that we did yesterday without recording it, which I said, if we talk about anything funny in this, Thor can run as fast as a Pontiac Firebird.
According to the wiki. Marvel database wiki, Thor can run as fast as a Pontiac Firebird.
I'm trying to set you up, man, with all these Pontiac Firebirds.
When I arrive at the scene, what do I see?
The T-Rex is one of the ones that was almost fully animated.
Oh, man.
Except really can't move, can't walk, can't perambulate.
Sure.
But it's leaning down and snapping with its great slavering jaws and razor sharp teeth at all the people trying to get out of the way. He had been positioned right next to the local Ghostbuster Club, and he has crunched the Ecto-Mobile.
No, not the Ecto-1.
Yeah. But they had made it out of a Ford Taurus, so it wasn't that hard to crunch.
Oh, that's fine.
And so he looks at you, still has the Ford Taurus Ecto-Mobile in his jaws, and kind of snaps his head and throws it in your direction.
Okay.
So let me see how he
This is my second thing then.
Oh.
I am going to grab. Yeah,
okay.
I'm trying to catch it. Right?
Okay.
So grab makes the most sense to me, right?
That sounds good to me.
Yeah. Grab it.
Okay, grab
it. Usually when I catch something, I do grab it.
Melee check against the target's melee defense. So we'll see how well I do.
What's the Ford Taurus's melee defense, Clint?
Oh, it's very low. A lot of plastic in the body. Yeah, that hits.
Yeah, I got a 14 total on melee, so I catch it.
So you catch the Ford Taurus. What do you do with it?
I gently set it down. They worked hard to make it look like the Ecto-1, man. They're going to rebuild that. I understand.
Okay.
I understand. Listen, I understand the hard work that prop builders and set builders, there's a lot that goes into this. You know, it's not all about the movie stars. You know what I mean? Takes a village to make a movie. They're working hard too.
T-Rex
should make
down.
That crystal clear that was the character that That's Travis Wonder Man. Is playing and that Travis was not espousing some truly horrific
That's Wonder Man.
Thoughts and feelings about the film in.
T-Rex leans down and goes
but it's mostly a robot. And, like, it's not even a full body robot, right?
But he can lean down and he can try to bite you.
I mean, he can try to.
Yeah,
I'm made of pure ionic energy. I'm basically immortal and invulnerable. So he can bite me all he wants to.
You think an animatronic can spell like energy?
No, that's fair.
He leans down to use crushing grip, which makes a melee attack against the grab target's resilience defense. If it's a success, the target takes regular damage. On a fantastic success, the target takes double damage. Instead of being pinned.
Okay.
Instead and is.
So there is the roll. It's a 2-5-1. That's a 14. Does that
14
hit?
14 against my melee. It ties
resilience.
It.
Resilience.
Against resilience? Oh, no. That's a miss.
Yes.
My resilience 15. So he bites.
Okay, so.
And the teeth just kind of bent.
Okay. They kind of bent. But you are still in his jaws.
Oh, actually, I use my reaction of escape. Okay. So that the character has been grabbed, pinned, or paralyzed by something physical, the character can attempt to escape just like they could with a regular action. So okay. Let me attempt that. They make a melee check against the grabber's melee defense. They succeed. Okay, melee check. Ooh. Nope, that's a 9. Okay, he's still holding me. So I'm holding, maybe I'm holding his teeth open like this, but I'm trapped between them.
Okay, that's good. And by this time, the T-Rex is really mad.
Yeah.
Really nice. Mad.
Nice, and going good. And he is
waving his little arms. He starts throwing his head back and forth, trying to dislodge you because it's not comfortable.
Yeah.
So he does quick toss.
Okay.
Throws the grab person at another target. And so it is a 4-5-4. That's a 19. Does that succeed?
It does. Yes, that does succeed.
And he throws you right at that stand. What is the one at all the conventions where they got the root beer?
Oh no, not the Wild Bill Saloon.
That's right.
The Wild and Sarsaparilla, and you go crashing right into it. Probably doesn't do any damage, I would say, but maybe.
Well, tell that to Wild Bill Saloon.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, the Wild Bill Saloon does 26 damage.
There's a separate staff for focus. Would it do psychic damage from the embarrassment of the sticky soda all over his cool clothes?
No, it's got a special coating on it. The sticky stuff just goes right off. Hey, Dan, where's this thing plugged in? It's a big animatronic robot. It's got to be powered somewhere.
Right. There's a big plug in the floor.
Okay, yeah.
Great big.
I'm just going to use Elemental Blast on that there plug.
You can pull it. It's a plug. Sorry, point of order. It's a plug. We have ways.
You're not there, dog.
Yeah, I also don't want to get close to it and get hit by it. Range attack on an unit of that. Okay, so that's agility, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm also convinced Wonder Man would just blow it up instead of pull it.
Yeah, so it's a 15 against a plug.
Oh, man. Sparks fly everywhere. And the power goes out on the T-Rex and the rest of the convention.
That's fine.
It goes totally dark.
And I turn into my ionic form, lighting the entire convention center.
Okay, and with that light emitting from you, you see through the open doors of the convention center, which have stayed open because people have been fleeing out of them. A familiar pair of headlights.
Oh, not everybody.
Not completely familiar, just somewhat familiar.
Hey, everybody, sorry, I have to go, but have a wonderful day.
Oh, wait a minute. I can't see David Tennant.
Sorry. I'm going to leave on the wonderful day thing, though, because there's a good... Okay, have a wonderful day.
Okay. And you go outside. Are you still in your ionic form, or have you reconstituted?
I land next to it in my regular form.
All right, and there before you is a familiar somewhat, but kind of unfamiliar. It sort of looks like the Wonder Wagon. It's your RV in which you had all the adventures.
I own it. It's mine.
I know. But when was the last time you saw it?
Let's see. It's probably when we were fighting Ares. Oh, yeah. I never picked it back up. Oh.
It went to the Avengers Mansion.
Yeah, I never went and got it after that. That one's on me. Yeah.
So here it is, but it looks so completely different. For one thing, it's hovering over the ground. It looks a little bit sleeker, and it's got these wings sticking out of the sides and what looks like rocket engines at the back. And as you're watching, it slowly settles onto the dirt on the parking lot, and the door bursts open in the Wonder Wagon. And out comes Miles Morales, Kate Bishop, Sebastian Druid, and Thori, the god dog. All come flying out, followed by Rebecca Riker,
Deathlock.
I didn't know you guys were going to be at this convention, too.
Neither did we.
Bad news, though. I think it's probably going to be probably closed for the day because they just blew it up because there's a mechanical T-Rex. And I blasted the plug and I shut it down. And now people can't see David Tennant. So they're probably going to... So do you guys want to go, like, get something to eat or...
Yeah. Whoa.
Get in, loser. We're going shopping.
Thorey, I don't know if we can go to PetSmart. I don't know if there's a PetSmart
space.
Buddy,
we've been over this. I think that we got to do the PetSmart thing afterwards.
I was quoting a very delightful film that I can't say the name of because I, Thorey, am SAG strong.
Oh, it's one of those classic things that like my parents watched.
Oh my god.
good slam. Good slam.
Merciless.
Okay, you all pile into the Warp and Wonder Wagon, which looks almost exactly the same as it did on the interior. But Deathlock turns around in her chair. Rebecca Riker. And she says, "You're probably wondering about the wagon. If you remember, it was left at Avengers Mountain."
Uh-huh.
"And so Avengers Mountain... about a year ago, all the Deathlocks from all the different realities were summoned there to shore up all the technology inside.
Okay.
And I responded to the call because I was really bored. So I have been working on the Wonder Wagon, and what we're going to have to do is going to take us into space, and I think it's mostly space-worthy."
Okay.
It's really... stripped down. I mean, it's got like propulsion and life support, but like we use, it's really cool. We use Deathlock technology and celestial.
Hey, DL, can I stop you? Can I stop you real quick, DL?
Yes.
I know it was at Avengers Mansion. It is still mine. Like I still, like I have the title to it and stuff. And so this is a lot. Like it was kind of like at least it threw the studio. And so, like, this is going to be kind of an issue when, like, it's time to return it. And, like...
Well, it's so much better. Look,
yeah,
it'll go in space, kind of.
Let's keep hearing about these upgrades.
Okay, yeah. Life support, propulsion, not really stocked for a space
adventure. Did you put in the CPAP machine I requested, yeah?
No.
He needs to live, Rebecca. Room.
I just won't sleep. I just won't sleep. Some life support... If I die of snoring,
does it have Wi-Fi? I have assignments.
It has Psi Wi-Fi.
What is that?
Or Y Sci-Fi?
That's better. Actually, the second one's better.
I have a sensitive question.
Yes.
Come closer.
Yes. What is it?
Where will I take walkies?
Guess we could get a litter box or something.
Oh, or a treadmill.
A treadmill? Hold on. Stepping outside the show for a second. A treadmill would provide some new problems. I feel like pooping on it. I don't have a dog. If I did, and I had
Gabe
to choose between pooping on the treadmill or next
you
to
said
the treadmill.
Walkies.
Gabe's looking out for the dog's exercise needs, which is a key component
you didn't
of walking.
Say, where do I poop? You said, how do I get walkies?
It's the...
That's fair. That's true. Okay, yes.
Yeah, that's a good point. So no... Really no amenities or anything else. No gear or anything.
No, yes. Just for the record, I don't... I made a video. I don't eat or sleep or breathe, really. So it sounds great to me. Like, we can... Let's do this.
For the rest of us, though, DL, can you explain what you mean by mostly space-worthy?
That's actually...
Well, it hasn't really been... Hasn't really been tested. I should have said theoretically spaceworthy.
Well, everything is theoretically spaceworthy until you test it, right?
I am theoretically spaceworthy.
I think it'll get us where we want to go. I just don't really. Where are we going to go?
I catch them up on as much as I know. I pass around this basically illegible piece of paper that I wrote it down on. When she was giving it to me. And okay. I'm like, I'm sorry. Try to make the best of this you can. I know it's black text on gray background. I don't know what I was thinking.
Okay, so we're going to nowhere. The headquarters of the Guardians of the Galaxy, right? To look for Star-Lord, right?
Right. Oh.
Right.
Yeah, it seems to be what's indicated here. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking that, too. I'm glad you all agree with what I was thinking we should do. How far is it to space?
I think with the warping capacity, I can have you there in a couple
hours. No, wait, hold on. Sorry, Sebastian, were you asking how far is it to nowhere or just at what point we're in space after we leave the surface of the
Earth? I almost said how far is it to nowhere, but I thought everyone would make fun of me and do some sort of doors thing.
Uh-huh.
So I just said how far is it to space. Hold on. And Sebastian reaches in his magical cloak and he fishes out his travel CPAP machine from home. I'm ready for anything.
Kate, is that a smoking thing? What is that?
Oh, the CPAP? It's just the sleeping thing? Yeah. I don't think you can smoke out of it. I wouldn't suggest it.
Now listen, I lived through the 80s. You can smoke out of anything.
Sebastian Sebastian teleports behind Miles. Ah. It's prescription.
Stay in school.
So Death Locket says, I am almost sure we can get to nowhere with limited difficulty.
Yeah, man, but how do you really get to nowhere?
All right.
Whoa.
Oh, it's like a
Jim Morrison
thing.
Said, like...
Yeah.
I know that you have been untrue.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, Clint, light it up.
You, I have to sing every episode.
You don't have to.
Okay, here's my big question before we do this. Is everybody in on this mission?
Oh, I thought you meant in, not like, obviously we're not inside the Wonder Wagon yet. I thought that's what you meant.
Yes, we are. We are.
Whoa! Lousa.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, how'd you do that? It's Lousa, dude. It's Lousa. Of course we're in. Yeah, right, everybody? Yeah. Of course.
We have to. For Lousa.
Yeah.
Miles, I'll write you a note.
Okay. I mean, I literally learned En fisk va fiskat. Like, it's one fish, two fish. It's her favorite book.
Yeah.
Oh.
I am in, of course. This is my charge and my great failure. If we could make one stop before we get moving.
Thori.
Not
if PetSmart. If you say PetSmart.
Smash cut to the cashier at PetSmart as I hop up on the counter. Do you accept Apple Pay?
I need you.
Yeah. $24.99.
I need you to know. I have no doubt Miles is there. It's like, yeah, I taught him to talk.
It's a good cover. Thank you for shopping at PetSmart. Here's a complimentary dog biscuit.
Can't believe we got.
Okay, so you go back out to the parking lot. And you get back in the Warp and Wonder Wagon.
All right, now I'm ready.
No, wait. Thori, what did you get at PetSmart?
Yeah, thank you, Kate. Yeah, obviously.
It's embarrassing. It's a bunch of, it's a lot of fancy feasts. It's like 9 raw hides. Well, he wouldn't get a leash. Absolutely.
He got like 2 cat toys because who fucking knows?
Yeah,
he
made I mean, variety. Fancy feasts, technically, they say it's cat food, but he will snack down on that no problem. Some begging strips for when he's feeling naughty.
Maybe some of those dental chews.
So this is like a haul.
Yeah,
it's a lot of stuff.
$24.99 is a killer deal.
Sorry, that was $2,499.
Oh,
Miles definitely snuck some paw butter inside of the bag for you.
Oh,
that's nice.
To do his toes later.
Yeah.
So I make a little nest out of rawhide. For the, that's my little corner, my own little square.
So we got the rawhide, we got the paste, we got the CPAP, and we're ready to roll.
That's your normal heroic checklist.
So everybody's sitting in the chairs, in the seats. Deathlocket explains to you, since we use so much Deathlock technology to revamp the Warp and Wonder Wagon, I'm going to have to physically plug in to the wagon and serve as the pilot. And once I do, I will probably not be able to extricate myself from that particular matrix.
Like, ever?
Well, maybe eventually after we
finish recording.
You are done and finish recording.
Okay.
But this will mean I'm going to be the permanent pilot and kind of your information center, but I'm not going to be able to go out into the field. I'm sorry.
Do you have a driver's license?
I made one.
We're going.
You didn't do that?
Oh, oh yeah, she has amazing cyborg powers.
Yeah, you do amazing cyborg powers to make a fake ID. Yeah. We can.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Oh, it's fake.
So the power system, she's checking through. Check, check, check. As you're all sitting there, she's looking at screens. What's weird is one of the things that are still the same about the Warp and Wonder Wagon is it still has a windshield that you can look out of and not a view screen. But it's really thick glass.
Good, yeah. Space or glass.
Some material.
From and Thor. So she says, okay. From Thor's house. The glass from Thor's house.
We're getting ready to leave. One other thing. One of those amenities we couldn't afford were seat belts or any kind of restraints. So you probably will want to, you know, just hang on.
Okay, everybody, just trust me on this, okay? And I will cast the Bolts of Balthok.
I was going to say, if you have a chair spell.
And he does. Oh, yeah.
So you're going to blast everybody with your magical electricity.
No, not Bolts of Balthok. Sorry. Hold on, wait.
Okay, Miles goes thoop, 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 and makes a web seat belt.
Oh, yeah, you're fine. Yeah.
There we go. Okay, this is better. This is better. I could have done it with... Thanks, Miles. Thank you.
No, this is for me. Do your thing.
Oh, okay.
Magic scares me.
Crimson bands... Crimson bands... All right, he tenses his fingers like this. Karlotosik! And he casts Crimson Bands of Sidorok.
Sidorak. Okay.
You fucking dork. You walked right into my trap.
Give yourself an edge. Give yourself an edge.
Thank you, Dad.
Give yourself an edge on that cast.
I will.
He edged you for that. That's so nice.
Brody.
Oh, no. I want to talk about how this is a target. So you do that for everybody? Like, that's my...
I'm fine.
This is more of a narrative seatbelt.
I'll allow it.
It's a narrative seatbelt.
Okay. You have edge. You can re-roll the two. It's a 2-5-3.
What is he trying to beat?
I don't know.
It's a 2 again. Edge is broken. Edge is broken. Kate, edge is broken. It doesn't work. It doesn't help.
Yeah, I know.
It works enough. All of a sudden, these crimson bands form over Miles's webbing to really, really strengthen it and maybe make it a little bit more comfortable.
Oh.
And with that, Death Locket, Rebecca Riker says, okay, 5.
What about the rest of us?
The counter is wrong.
No,
you've all got the...
Oh, I crimson.
We all got the bands. Okay, thank God. Okay.
Yeah, you've all got the...
You'll be fine. You've got arrows.
Okay. 10, 7. Wait, that's not right. It jumped from 10 to... 4. 1.
Fuck. She can't.
Orphan Wonder Wagon is go! Hold on to your butts!
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported
directly
by you.